Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Show at the 4 o'clock hour here on 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the free radio.com app. Free, F-R-E-E. That means if you miss any of our show, you miss any of the podcasts.
You definitely have to rewind and just listen to just me.
Right, and the best part
we
is you can rewind live radio, and you don't even have to pay for it. It's free. Yeah. The radio.com app is free. All of our content is free, unlike some others. In the Milwaukee area. 414-799-1250. Live at 1057FMTheFan.com. Wendy's Fresh Never Frozen inbox. That's Leroy Butler, Leap 36. Gary Ehlers informed Badger and Packer running back. Heartland Trophy back where it belongs. We'll get into some Badger conversation tomorrow, but right now it's a victory. Green and gold Monday. Gary Ellerson on the phones at 414-799-1250. Guys, we talked about it. We teased it a little bit into how you would have maybe changed the play there at the end of the first half. Packers end up going for it. Matt LaFleur then today again doubles down on saying that I don't dislike the decision. I just disagree with the play that I called. It was a wrong play. Gary, on the Green and Gold postgame show last night, I heard you talking about it a little bit, that you maybe think it was just flat out the wrong choice.
Yeah, I think you got to take the points. That's just me. And when you're in a situation like that and you need the points, you're at home. I mean, it worked out for him, right? But you at the end of the game, you would not have been in that situation. As you kicked the field goal, right? There's no way they could have tied the game. So I thought you could have taken the points there. Listen, when he made that decision to go, the crowd went crazy at Lambeau.
Hell yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Because Gary, what is this, though? And you've heard this for a long time. You've done this show a lot longer than I have. Listened to you guys for a long time. Your guys need to be able to get a yard.
Roll, you hit it all the time.
Oh, you got to be able to get 1 yard.
They went absolutely crazy in Lambeau. Here's how the opposite
Love
is.
It.
They went crazy at Lambeau, and they also went crazy on social network the other way. At Lambeau, they loved the decision to go for it. On social network, they hated it.
Well, because the smart guys are on social media.
Yeah.
Had he kicked that field goal, it would have been hashtag Mike McCarthy. Stop it. You just live with it. And you're getting the ball coming out of the second half. Whatever the results are, fine. The calls are fine. My problem was I'm in the minority. Why did your guy get sacked for a 5-yard loss?
That and why did you get beat on the inside move?
Yeah, that never gets talked about. It won't get talked about. So I have to be the voice of reason. And Gary's right. As soon as it happened, I said to myself, self, whatever he does, he's going to be scrutinized. That's why you have the analytics department give you all these numbers, because you can always blame it on them. Because those guys they're never going to lose their job. If somebody give you a percentage. Now,
yeah, numbers are the numbers.
I think if it's a 60% chance of anything, that's not passing. Passing to 70. Now, my teacher graded me on a curve because I used to do the erasers and take out the trash and bring an apple that
like
I bit off
of. Like a good Florida State guy, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So you can go these numbers all the time. And the same thing for Riverboat Rod going for two. Me, old school, kick a field goal, keep it moving.
Yeah, that made no sense to me.
But it all came down to what Ray Rose you tell me. You just got to stop him.
What Ray Bob say?
Stop him. Don't let him in. The offense can do whatever they want to do. I don't care. We have to stop them.
If they don't score, yeah. They don't win?
Right. Basically, quote, unquote, all calf mm-hmm. jazz hands. But I will say this. For the locker room, we need to know where your thinking is, though. We need to know this.
So in the locker room,
we need to know.
Is he getting a side eye because of it?
No, no, no. We're on point with you. We need to know this because, listen, we went through this with L.A. L.A. took down 3 points to put their bread and butter out there to score on you. Oh, so that, so, okay. So that's how we plan now. All right. So when we get an opportunity, we're going to go for it. Now, I will say this. I was shocked that based on the clock that Carolina wouldn't just run 4 plays of Christian McCaffrey and say we lost with our best guy. Smartest guy in the room want to throw it. 2-point conversion. Just give it to your best guy. Mm-hmm.
Like they so did with the last Gary play. Said, that made sense.
That's why Gary said he would have called a timeout to get Aaron Jones in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because he already briefly scored between the tackles. But on that particular play, in that formation, and that grouping, it's with 30. So you live with it. Every play I draw up does not lose 5 yards. So I want to know why it happened.
Every play you draw up scores a touchdown, right?
Oh, no question.
Like, I think that's the best part about it.
All day long.
Every play you draw up is supposed to score a touchdown.
He's going
to
go with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, Steve, what did the people at the Mecca, I want to know what the people at the Mecca.
Yeah, Steve's at the Mecca, wasn't he?
Yeah, what did they say when they went for it on fourth down? Because there's no great answer.
I got on the microphone because I was feeling a little queasy myself about them doing it.
Okay.
I said, hey, who here is all for them doing this, going for it?
What was the poll? The
whole place went crazy.
Yeah. Okay.
Everybody
now, when they didn't get it, what happened?
Nothing. Nobody booed.
They were fine with it.
There was nobody angry. Nobody that came up to me and said, boy, they screwed that up.
Right.
Didn't have any of that, right?
The social network was crazy.
But isn't there something to, because this is kind of what happened to the Colts last season. Mm. They made a similar type of deal or a bonehead play going for a win late in the game, remember? They lost, and everybody went crazy about Frank Reich. Mm. Oh, what an idiot. What are you doing? And that team rallied around that because he showed confidence in them to put him in that situation. And they got on a run the rest of the year off of that. Mm-hmm. And in my brain, when they missed it, and we got to halftime, then myself, that wasn't horrible. I mean, it's just not
horrible.
They
get the ball coming out.
It wasn't like you were down 20 or something and didn't kick the field goal and take the for sure point. You're in a close game. You're at home. Well, makes all the sense in the world.
You would have second-guessed that. Had they scored, made the 2-point conversion, going overtime, they win it, and you were like,
well, that's a lot of ifs.
I know, but you were saying to yourself, we shouldn't.
Maybe.
Stranger things happen.
Yeah,
but that's when folks second guess you.
Right.
When that stuff happens.
But is it a rallying point for the offense, Gary, when your coach does that?
Well, see, it was weird to me. I mean, the play call was weird. I just would have never ran Williams.
Right.
I mean,
he's out of the backfield alone.
No, I would have never done that.
I thought you liked the bigger, stronger guy.
I want my best player. So, like, maybe Aaron Rodgers or Aaron Jones.
Oh, no, don't throw it. They're going to say why you didn't run it.
Well, yeah, but either one of those
guys. Did you run Aaron Jones or why you didn't throw it?
Yeah, I don't know about Jamal Williams. That's my only thing.
So, it was more of the person. But you didn't like it from Josh.
I want the three.
You want this for
Let
sure
me
three.
Have the points.
And I get that. For me, I'm always trying to go up three scores.
Defense is playing pretty good. Let me have the three.
I'm always trying to go up three scores, and if I get a touchdown here, I can go up 3 scores after the break. I can go score a touchdown, and we're up 7-18. Yeah. And essentially,
that's Mike McCarthy.
Now they got to throw the ball all over the place.
Yeah, that's Mike McCarthy. That's what happens. He would kick the field goal.
No, remember? I would go for touchdown.
No, listen. No, he would kick the field goal, right? Seattle.
Yep.
Remember? Seattle.
Twice.
Kick the field goal. Okay, people want him to go for it. Now this guy goes for it, and you still ain't happy. So my thing is, you live with the decision. You don't say, hey, it's over with. Let's move forward. Fine, if the analytics department was on point, okay, on point, that would mean that Giannis would never be on the floor when they're going to shoot free throws. If it's 5 guys that shoot better percentage, then you remove him.
Correct.
See, I never remove my best guy.
You okay, Chris?
Never.
He's fired up, man.
I ain't never removing my best guy.
Say Shaq out there during Hack a Shaq and see what happens.
It's because I think those players step up when it's time.
Yeah, and Shaq didn't.
Somebody else, they ain't been in that position.
They ain't been.
Air ball.
Giannis shoots an air ball. And then he ripped his jersey.
Oh, man. What that was awesome.
Yeah. Then he ripped his jersey.
I'll keep him on that. My best players, I believe in you. Okay. And guess what else? I'm going to live with the results.
All right. Let me go get Gary and Waukesha. His name is Gary and Greg. Let's go to Greg and Waukesha. Greg, you're up next. 105.7 FM, the Fan. Greg, what you got, man?
Hey, Gary.
Hey, this is a question for you and Leroy.
Sure, what you got, Greg?
When you watch
Gary,
Rashawn Gary play, like play yesterday,
a little slew footed, yeah.
What are you guys seeing?
What you seeing?
How do you evaluate
him? What are you seeing, Greg?
Well, he looks like maybe he shouldn't have been a first round draft choice to me.
Okay. What you expect him to do, Greg? What are you thinking?
Well, first of all, I thought he'd be on the field more than he is because he played a few snaps in the first half. And then in the second half, Kyler Fackrell was in there.
Oh, yeah,
a guy.
Kyler Fackrell led the team with 10.5 sacks last year, Greg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I thought if Gary's worth, a number 10 or number 12 pick, I thought they'd use him more.
I don't think you're alone on this one. There's a lot of people that are in that boat right there going, where is Rashawn Gary that they spent a first-round pick on? He's got one sack.
Tell him what
he wasn't here for production.
My goal was six sacks, and you agreed with me that if he got six sacks, that would be a good year.
Yeah, he did agree.
He's got one, and we're at the halfway point.
When
actually,
did he
pass
get that
halfway.
One?
Leroy did agree with you.
I don't know. He's got one, though.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm looking at it.
Okay.
12?
Is it buffering?
No, it's not buffering. He got one.
Do you remember him getting a sack? Because I know he had to do some kind of
thing. Yeah, no, he got a sack.
Just go with it. I don't remember that.
I'll find it.
What you going to go with?
That he got one sack. I don't think he has any.
What's your point?
But, actually, I'm happy if he does have one.
Well, what's your point?
I don't think he was brought in here for production.
Against the Broncos.
Yeah, I don't.
He wasn't brought in for production?
No.
What was he brought in for?
I think he was in for a role that they needed. They needed a guy with a high motor. A guy that can play multiple positions, and a guy that can really help these packages, these fronts to there. He was a good fit on that.
Who on your 96 team wasn't brought in for production?
I'll bet you a bunch of guys wasn't brought in for production.
My man Mike Pryor?
There's one.
Well, Pryor was brought in for you. He had to catch some punts.
He had to call fair catch.
He was all out there because we had injuries. But my point is,
what's your point?
He was a role player.
Would they bring you in for production or no? Let's just get that.
Who's that?
They bring you in for production?
Well, of course. I mean, my production speaks for itself.
If you're a first-round pick, you are brought in for production.
Okay,
period. End of story.
He shouldn't have been drafted there because he only had, five sacks, six sacks?
Yeah, but that was because remember what they all said.
Right. How many?
Well, they were double and triple teaming them, and that was freeing up all these other guys that got stats.
And that's what they said. That's why the Smith brothers got 10 each.
Oh, because of Rashawn Gary?
And everyone's getting Rolexes.
Yeah, everybody else one-on-one. He created one-on-one. Listen, they're consistent in what they're saying. They didn't bring him in here to be like Bosa.
Bosa
was in for production, right? And you're getting it. Rashawn Gary was brought in because he's a freakish athlete, bigger, stronger, faster, got tested well, played in the Big Ten, and everybody else in around him got drafted too because he commanded two blocks. So if you don't like him, period, then you're consistent. But to pick him out when you're 8-2, I'm trying to figure out why. What you even focusing on him, really?
Chase Winovich, who was also at Michigan with Rashawn Gary, who when he was drafted in the third round, everybody said, "Well, he had what he did at Michigan because of Rashawn Gary. He's got 4.5 sacks.
That makes sense.
And he got
that make sense?
And he's in New England, mind you.
Yeah,
Rashawn Gary's got."
He don't.
And he went in the first round.
But who you want him to play over?
Was Rashawn Gary getting double and triple teamed?
No. But who's
are people respecting Rashawn Gary to that point? Like, man, if we don't stop him, he's gonna get three sacks today.
You don't want him in there over one of the Smith brothers, do you?
You drafted him, and you knew you had those two.
They don't know these guys will perform.
They draft. You spent all that money on both of them, Leroy. You penciled them in as starters.
Fine.
You don't spend all that money not pencil them in as a starter.
So you have to have depth. And that's the best position that they can get at that
point.
Your
turn, Gary. I'm done. You can have it. Go ahead. Your turn.
He wasn't drafted for. If you guys think this guy was
a horrible draft pick, they drafted him for
death. That's another conversation. And well, I don't think it's too early to even say that. Most teams get these guys to fit what they're trying to do.
What first round draft pick, Leroy, you know that they ain't draft for production?
I don't know.
Was he top? Was he 12?
12.
Well, they should have never. Did you like the pick?
No.
Okay, then you're considered. Did you like the pick?
No.
He had.
Then you're fine. You guys are fine.
There was nothing there.
You guys are fine. You guys didn't. The criticism.
There was no production at 12.
Right. So you guys' criticism is warranted and is right on point because you're consistent. But if you like the pick, oh my, that's the greatest pick.
Even if
people
you like,
weren't calling
even,
saying that.
Even if you
Am
like
right
the pick, even if you like the pick, there's still no production, right?
I'm trying to see why
in the
we
first
focusing,
year, though.
Right.
I'm just thinking, why are we focusing on him,
Leroy,
when the other guys are performing right. the outside linebacker spot? He's not going to play over those guys. Those guys are both Pro Bowlers.
To Leroy's point, though, he was brought in as right. a project.
Basically.
He was brought in as a project. They
that's
told
true.
Everybody.
Because he's going to play inside,
that he was gonna be
outside,
a
cover the tight end. There's a lot of moving parts.
Leroy.
I'm not going to focus on him because it's not a bigger sample size.
You sold me a bag of goods back in preseason that Sparky, they're going to have special packages for him. Mm-hmm. He's going to get some snaps. He may not get a ton of snaps, but he's going to get some snaps, and they're going to put him in a position to succeed. Have they done that?
Well, they have done that. He's been out there with his package.
No, he's been on the field, but has he succeeded?
But the other team's going to block him. I mean, he's not going to be free. He has to get in work. He has to work like all the other guys. These other guys are working. I think sometimes we lose sight of when a quarterback's drafted overall number one, if he's a bust, we give him a pass. Another guy that's 12, we want him to be like Cal Fackrell's number 10 and a half sacks. He was a fifth round
no.
pick.
Yeah. You know who they want him to be? T.J. Watt.
No, he's not going to be T.J. Watt.
That's exactly what everybody wants him to be. T.J. Watt.
Wait a minute.
A dude that's an all-pro?
No, he's not going to be.
T.J.'s not an all-pro.
T.J. Watt?
T.J., he'll be a pro bowler.
No, he's not.
T.J. Watt's a pro bowler.
Yeah, well, he's a pro bowler.
But he hadn't been to a pro bowler. He's been to a pro bowler?
I think he had.
No, did you find an outside linebacker for Pittsburgh?
Number 90.
Yes, I'm talking about number 90.
Yeah, I think he's a pro bowler.
He's been to a pro bowl.
He's out of his mind.
Oh, my God.
He plays great.
How many sacks that Joker done had?
A bunch.
He only been in the league, what, 2-3 years, huh?
Yeah, he's been doing really good.
Yeah, in his first year he had 7 sacks, and his second year he had 13. He's got 9 and a half already this year.
Yeah, he's out.
He had 13 in his second year?
13, Where were you?
That's where he had 13 sacks last year?
Yes.
Yeah.
This man playing out of his
mind.
6
forced fumbles. Yeah. He's got 4 already this year.
He's not that guy yet.
Why he ain't that guy? You better be that guy, Leroy. You need to stop that, man. Oh, man.
Watt plays in a system that he's the Smith, bro. He's outside all the time going at the quarterback. And when he dropped, he's amazing. They knew what they were getting, Gary. That's why you didn't like the pick, right?
I'm just saying, Leroy.
Didn't you, Gary, hear when the coach say he ran down the hallway?
Yeah. They wanted him.
Yeah.
Right.
Because he wanted to work with him on his pass rush moves.
Right.
He wanted to develop the player.
Go. They wanted a guy that raw, talented,
don't make
big
no
size.
Sense. You drafted Joker at 12 and he can't be T.J. Watt, man. I want that.
T.J., did you hear those numbers?
That's what I want.
That's what the Smith brothers are.
I want another one.
Well, they shouldn't even got those guys. They should just let Rashard Gary be the starter outside linebacker.
Even better, what you guys should do is you should go to the beer dinner with Beaufording Beer and the owner, George of Beaufording. George is a great dude, man. George is one of the cooler dudes around. George is the dude that when I met him for the first time, took the tie off his neck and gave it to me.
Oh, that's
a genuine
individual.
That means
something, no?
Right? It doesn't it? That means
something.
You and
their family, they like you.
That's what I've heard.
Did you sell the tie?
No, I still have it. I wear it every once in a while.
I thought it was expensive, probably.
You heard me talk about the 100% all-natural Beaufording beer all year long, and how it's made with the fresh spring water, the finest barley, the choicest hops. Now, imagine pairing those quality beers with some of the best food you've ever had in your life. That's what the Beaufording Beer Dinner is, and it's back happening Wednesday, November 20th at Café Central starting at 6 p.m. 4 delicious, seasonally inspired courses will be served, each perfectly, expertly paired with an all-natural Beaufording beer. In addition, the owner of Beaufording, George Lentz, is going to be in attendance. He's going to guide you through the entire culinary journey. Of course, there's going to be plenty of Beaufording beer to drink with you, and if anybody wants to know how they drink in Luxembourg, George is going to teach you how. He taught me a couple of months ago, and it was a heck of a night. Tickets on sale now through the end of the week. They're going fast, so get yours today. The tickets to the Beaufording Beer Dinner, visit Beaufording USA on Facebook. That's B-O-F-F-E-R-D INGUSA on Facebook. The ticket link is pinned right there at the top of the page. Again, it's November 20th at Cafe Central. Enjoy an incredible night of beer and delicious food and Bovending beer. Go all natural with the owner of Bovending, Greg Lentz, George Lentz, in attendance for the Bovending beer dinner coming up Wednesday, November 20th. It's the Wendy's Big Show here on 105.7 FM. The Fan, Ryan Wood, our Green and Gold Insider, here in 10 minutes. It's the Wendy's Big Show on 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the freeradio.com app. I'm Bill Schmidt, baby Tausch. Appreciate you hanging out. Get you a look at some of the injuries that we had yesterday. Trevon Smith, the return man and special teamer for the Green Bay Packers. Yeah, you saw that injury. You were able to notice exactly what it was, a concussion. Usually a good sign of a concussion is when a guy gets up from a hit, when he takes the brunt of the hit to his head, and then he runs towards the wrong sideline. That usually signifies that it's bad. They got Tremont Smith out of the game right away. Still awaiting an injury update on Ty Summers, another special teamer who left at that point in the game. Also, now we'll give you an injury update on another game that was yesterday, but it was actually the Milwaukee Bucks. And breaking news on The Fan is brought to you by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by Indeed.com. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. This is from Shams Charania, who we've had on the program before from Stadium Sports. Bucks all-star forward Chris Middleton is expected to miss several weeks with a left leg injury, but no serious damage in that leg, the source tells him at Stadium Sports. Now, last night when Mike Budenholzer came up to the podium and talked to reporters after, he was expecting it to be rather non-serious. They were expecting to be able to get Middleton back pretty quickly. And when I talked to Matt Velasquez on the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show driven by Mercedes-Benz in Milwaukee North last night, he said the same thing. He spoke to Middleton. Middleton didn't seem to believe that it would be an issue. Obviously, that is different now. This is the same left leg that he had the ruptured hamstring on a couple of years ago that was surgically repaired.
It's the same one.
It is the same leg for Chris Middleton.
Never good.
And they are now saying, quote, several weeks is for how long Chris Middleton will miss.
You got air on the side of caution there.
Now, are we going to talk about this? Can I go off for a second?
Or yeah, go
we
got
to go back to
no,
Packers?
No, fire it up. We got Ryan Wood in like 5 minutes, so you have plenty of time.
Yeah, go ahead, dude.
Listen, obviously I'm not doing post-game show anymore. That's Billy's baby. But I'm going to tell you all something. I didn't like the deal they gave Chris Middleton. I think they're going to regret the deal they gave Chris Middleton. I don't think they're regretting the deal they gave Chris Middleton today, even hearing this news necessarily. But if you all think that you're going to do anything as far as winning an NBA title without Chris Middleton, you're dead wrong. You don't have another player that can do what Middleton does when Middleton is right. He's inconsistent. He's streaky. I agree. But when Middleton is right, you don't have another guy that does that on this team. You just don't. Now, you're going to see what this team looks like without Chris Middleton. Now, several weeks is what they're saying?
Several weeks.
Okay, so let's say it's 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say he doesn't come back until like early February, somewhere in that area, about the All-Star break, somewhere in the All-Star break area, right? Yeah, at this point, they might just come back after the All-Star break.
That's closer to 3 months, yeah.
Right. So let's see how long this goes, because we're not really getting a true definition of or true timeline here. But keep track. Let's see what their numbers look like without Chris Middleton on this team for a couple of months. Let's see how they play. Now, again, this is still regular season, so you're still probably going to be able to beat bad teams without Chris Middleton. Let's not look into that.
Especially the next month, because the next 3 weeks, the schedule is wide open.
Right.
They get the Bulls twice, the Hawks twice.
Correct.
Yeah.
So this is going to fall at a good time for them if they are going to lose him.
Right.
But if they, and I haven't looked at the schedule, but if they get a Celtics, who just lost Gordon Hayward, who also can't stay healthy, but you start getting some teams, and I don't know if Philly's on that schedule in that time or somebody else that are good teams. You just can't do it without Chris Middleton. Y'all don't have to like him. You can think they overpaid for him. You do not have another player that does what he does at this point. And you don't have Malcolm Brogdon either. So you don't have another guy that has shown you the ability that he can throw up 15 to 20 on a consistent basis. Wesley Matthews looks old, so that's not helping you at all. You can't rely on Kyle Korver to give you a ton of points on a night-to-night basis on this team. Who's going to defend? because Middleton's one of your better defenders. So who's going to take that role
on
this team?
The defensive side of the ball is going to be the place where they really miss him.
They're really
going to miss him defensively.
This is going to be a problem here for this basketball team.
I am excited, though, because obviously with injury and with adversity breeds opportunity. This is going to give either Sterling Brown or Dante DiVincenzo the consistent run that a lot of guys have been waiting for.
It's going to build a bench. If you look at the Clippers right now, they've been without both of their – well, they've been without Paul George for sure, and the other guys on load management. I think it'll be good for him. Also be good for Giannis, too, because he's now going to have to carry a little bit more of the load.
And he is now one game away of 30 points from tying Marcus Johnson's all-time franchise record for most consecutive 30-point games. Giannis has his fifth yesterday as the Bucks take out the Oklahoma City Thunder 121-119 and just let him hang around and let him hang around in the game, hang around in the game, hang around in the game. And then finally, they almost came back and bit him in the ass, and instead, the Bucks were able to escape and finish off the road trip 3-1. But more costly, as they will now, according to Shams, miss Chris Middleton for the better part of the next several weeks.
That's a big difference, too. You're going to have.
That would have been real bad.
Yeah, that, don't say several months.
Several weeks. In that run, Stevie, you brought up.
You don't know what several weeks is, though, Steve. I mean, several weeks.
It could be three. It could be 12. I mean, to be completely
could
honest
be two
with
months.
You.
And
could
he has months. Had the surgery, or he's going to have the surgery?
No, this is not going to require surgery.
Right.
This is the same leg,
it's
though,
same
that
leg.
He had surgically repaired when he ruptured the hamstring.
Do we know if he had surgery, if they would put him out longer or not? If this was something they would have to have surgery? Or you're saying this, well, we don't know. Shams isn't a doctor.
Yeah, we don't
so
know.
So who knows? Okay,
and,
fine.
Well, and this is the thing, though, Steve, last night, and you know this doing postgame, Matt Velasquez and I were talking last night. Matt talked to Chris, and he was like, yeah, man, I don't know. I got kneed there, and it was sore. It kind of locked up on me when I went to go sit down and tightened up. So I went back in, and they said, yeah, you're going to be out for a little while. They say no serious damage in the leg. That, I would imagine, means no surgery. That's the report.
Fresh Wendy's deal coming at you right now at Wendy's. Score two faves for just $5. Choose from 10-piece spicy or crispy nugs, a Dave single, or a spicy chicken sandwich. Wendy's two for $5. That's a win-win. We got you. Spicy nuggets available for a limited time only.
Ryan Wood, our Green and Gold Insider, talks about the Packers' 24-16 win with us next on the Wendy's Big Show.
This guy's on the inside. Now, here's Green Bay football insider Ryan Wood on The Fan.
Brought to you by PNC Insurance. PNC Insurance, an independent insurance agency for all your home, auto, and commercial business needs. Visit them at pc-insurance.net.
Ryan Wood covers the Green Bay Packers for the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com. And right here on the Wendy's Big Show, he joins us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline on a Green and Gold Monday after the Packers beat the Carolina Panthers 24-16. Ryan, first off, welcome back to December football, this time in November with a snow globe Lambeau Field yesterday.
Oh, it was gorgeous. You know, there's a lot of things in doing this job that you kind of get used to, even the cool parts of this job. They become, you're used to it. It's old hat after a while. There's nothing about a snow game at Lambeau Field that I ever get used to. Every time it snows there, it's just a gorgeous sight. It's always kind of a special thing. So, you know, you already had a really neat game, right? Two good teams,
right,
came down to the wire. The snow in the background, it was an incredible environment.
And Ryan, too, that they do it by finishing off the game and stopping a guy that is right now in the middle of the MVP conversation, or at least he should be, in Christian McCaffrey, stonewalling him at the goal line and finishing it off there. In a game that had a lot of different storylines, they did feel like they contained and did their job containing Christian McCaffrey during the game.
There were no big plays, and you almost don't care what kind of yardage he ends up with. I think it was under 150. If you would have told me that Christian McCaffrey is going to have under 150 all-purpose yards, I would have said the Packers would win. So they did their job there. But 100, I think it was, 142 or something like that? That's not nothing. They didn't shut him out, but there was no big plays. In the explosive area, they shut him out of that. And so when you look at it, Christian McCaffrey's having a better season, but Aaron Jones was the best running back on that field yesterday. Three touchdowns, you know, had close to 100 yards, had a 15-plus yard catch wiped out because of a penalty. Yeah, it was a pretty big statement game for an Aaron Jones, and it's something that he doesn't get the opportunities. He doesn't get the touches that Christian McCaffrey has to make the plays that Christian McCaffrey does. But, you know, the fact that they're tied in touchdowns with much fewer touches, that it bodes pretty well and says something about the season that Aaron Jones is having. And I thought when you put him on the same field yesterday, at least, and it wouldn't be this way every time, maybe yesterday, Aaron Jones was the best running back on the field.
Would you also say that Kyle Allen was the best quarterback on the field yesterday?
Might have been when you consider how much pressure he was under. He was like Houdini. It was really remarkable. It was my first time really seeing Kyle Allen play, and I'd heard a lot about him, obviously, but hadn't really seen him. And I was extremely impressed. You know, he made a couple mistakes, and because of that, the clean game that Aaron Rodgers played, I'd probably still give him the nod, because those mistakes that Kyle Allen made were crucial. One of them being a pick six that Jaire Alexander dropped. I mean, so there were some mistakes that he even got away with, but he was hounded all day by that pass rush, and he was able to get out some things that I just couldn't believe. And he was impressive. I mean, they sure look like they've got a franchise quarterback there.
Here's why I say it, because I'm trying to temper this stuff, because there's a lot of Packer fans that think that maybe Aaron Jones should be the MVP of the league this year, or should be in discussion. That's why I said it. Just because Kyle Allen could have been the best quarterback on the field yesterday really doesn't make him better than Aaron Rodgers, because I take Aaron Rodgers every day over Kyle Allen, correct?
Right, yeah. If he made more plays, again, yeah. Aaron Rodgers was cleaner, and that's really important to the quarterback position.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me ask you this. We had a discussion today about Rashawn Gary. What's your thoughts so far on his, like, development and how he's really kind of, you know, been going here as of late?
Yeah, I don't know if I've seen him enough to have any real, I guess, accurate thoughts. I mean, we just haven't seen him much. Haven't needed to see him much, because the Smiths have been Pro Bowlers. I think both those guys, if they continue on this trajectory, are going to be Pro Bowlers this year. So we haven't had to see him much. And, you know, I don't think the Packers are that surprised that he's a project of some sort. I mean, he was kind of supposed to be coming into the league. He's got all this athleticism. He was changing positions from five tech, really a six tech defensive end, to standing up more as an outside linebacker. So that was going to take time. I think when they signed the Smiths, we all kind of knew that it really afforded them the luxury of being patient. You know, when they drafted Gary, because they'd already had the Smiths in place. So I don't know if it's really surprising that it's been a quiet rookie year for him. I don't know that it also has that much of a tell for what the future procrastinations are going to be for what he can do in year two, year three, year four. So it's been quiet because they've had the luxury of allowing it to be quiet because the Smiths have been so good.
This is almost like then, and Leroy talked about this earlier, so maybe he's a project, but then this is almost like maybe Rashard Gary being, or maybe Rodgers being behind Brett Favre for a couple of years, and you just really didn't need it. Although Rashard Gary is getting some snaps on the field.
Yeah, and he's done. You know, where Rashard Gary has impressed the most this year is where he impressed the most at Michigan, and it wasn't as a rusher. It was really in his run defense, especially his pursuit. That when you talk to his coaches at Michigan, they all bring that up and how his motor in the run game was incredible. When you talk to scouts about Rashawn Gary coming into the draft, they all rave about his combination as a run and pass defender, and not just a pass rusher. That was the book on him. Not that he was an elite pass rusher with the 12th overall pick, but that he was a really good, kind of like a much more athletic Nick Perry, and that he could do both pretty well. So there's some parts of his game as a pass rusher that needed refinement and development, and he's getting an opportunity to do that. It probably will bode well for him. It should bode well for him going forward. It can't hurt that he's had this ability to have the patience behind the Smiths, but he's got, you know, we just won't know for a couple of years. That's how a lot of draft picks go, but this one especially, we're not going to know for a couple of years on Rashawn Gary.
Talking with Ryan Wood here, Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com, on the Wendy's Big Show. Self-scouting, Ryan, can you enlighten our listeners on what the coaches mean by that into the bye week?
Yeah, so the offensive staff's going to be evaluating the defensive staff, almost like they're going to prepare to play the defense, and the defensive staff is going to evaluate the offense, like they're going to prepare to play the offense to kind of basically come up with game plans almost and tell Matt LaFleur this is how we would attack this side of the ball, the other side of the ball. And, you know, sometimes the best information can come internally when you're just honest with yourself. And to do that, the other side of the ball is really able to get a fresh perspective and to kind of provide that new insight. So it's something that a lot of coaches do. Mike McCarthy did this. This is pretty much the norm throughout the league, is that you have self-scouting during the bye. It can't hurt that it comes so late in the season, because that just means that there's even more of a sample size and even more information to pick through, to go over. And it's a lot different than if you're doing this week four, week five, week six. You just haven't seen as many games. So I would think that helps. I also, you know, I think that there could be some pretty significant adjustments coming out of the bye. It's not uncommon for coaches to use this week, this off week during the season, to course correct in some areas that they need to improve. And there's some areas that the Packers can improve despite their 8-2 record. So it's pretty advantageous if you use it the right way.
Yeah, I'll talk to you later during the bye week this week. I want to have a discussion with you about why they can't stop a tight end, especially Greg Olsen, somebody that really – I didn't think he can separate, but for some reason he was wide open. But the stress level for me, and I get the self-scout stuff, I'm not really big on it, because I think you have to look internal. Why are you giving us so many explosion plays? Let's break this film down and find out if it's the players, is it the system, is it maybe a bad call on me? But they did. You guys did ask LaFleur, wise guys, so wide open, all caps. So it has to be an issue with it. I think a lot of people don't think about it because you're winning games. I mean, it's just like 15-1. Remember, they gave up all those yards, but they were winning 15 games. But they eventually got knocked out of the playoffs. They're tracking for something like that bad to happen. So, I mean, how does this get cleaned up? As far as that's what McCarthy said, we're gonna get it cleaned up. But those big plays are just disturbing.
I think we're going to know if it can get cleaned up after the bye. And
that's
I can't speak
point.
To 2011, but I can speak to 2014. And if you remember 2014, that's a pretty good team. They had a
yep.
first-round bye.
Yep.
It's been 12-4.
Yep.
And that entire season, we all talked about how the special teams were an issue. And they're still winning. And they're
yep.
winning despite the special teams.
Yep.
But the special teams were an issue. They're getting punts and kicks blocked, missing kicks, breakdowns in coverage in the return game. It was an issue. And that whole season, they're winning, and you're like, boy, at the end of the day, this might hurt them. I mean, this might come back and cost them. And what happened in 2014, but the special teams were literally the reason why the Packers didn't go to the Super Bowl that year. At the end of the day, it did hurt them. And the explosive plays that this defense is allowing feels a lot like this season, what the special teams felt like in 2014, where they're winning games. They're 8-2. They're still winning despite the explosive plays. They've been able to make up for them. But at the end of the day, those explosive plays might be the reason why this team doesn't go to the Super Bowl if they don't course correct and if they don't fix that in the second half of the season. So it's a big issue. I don't think there's any question about that. This defense is very opportunistic. It's very aggressive, and it's benefited from that style of play, but it's been burnt a lot over and over and over again almost every week because of that style of play too. So there's got to be some kind of balance there. We'll see if they can find that over the bye. I think they're going to have to really be honest with themselves on how to take care of that issue.
We had Mike Clemens on earlier in the show, and he was talking about two guys that may play significant roles in this team come playoff time, and that's Campbell on defense and Sternberger on the offensive side of the ball. Obviously, you can't predict the future. I get that. But if you had money to put down on this, which one do you think plays a bigger role in this team going forward the rest of the year?
I think they both do. And that's not a cop-out. I mean, I honestly think that they both have significant roles on this team going forward. Matt LaFleur – made it sound like he was almost, and he wouldn't say surprised, but Jay Sternberger earned the additional snaps that he got. He played a little bit more than expected, and it's because he earned that as a blocker, which he's not supposed to be able to block. I mean, that's the book on Jay Sternberger coming out of college, is that he's a receiving tight end. So the way he was able to block and kind of some of those zone scheme kick-out blocks that he had, that was impressive. And on the other side of the ball, considering Ibrahim Campbell hadn't played in a year, and, I mean, I was surprised he was even active, to be honest with you, because he just last week was when he was activated off the PUP. Usually the trend with this team is that your first week back onto the 53, you don't get activated. I mean, shoot, Ryan Grant is still waiting three games to be activated for a game. He's been on the 53 for 3 weeks now. Now, Ibrahim Campbell has some practice time, but you can't duplicate, especially with the way, you know, two of those Wednesdays were walkthroughs. You can't duplicate game speed and game action and practice. So for him to come back in his first time in a year and play as well as he did was really impressive. Forced a fumble. And I think, you know, Mike Pettine said way back in August that he thought Ibrahim Campbell was a starting caliber type safety. Now, they don't need a starting safety in their base or their sub. You know, they've got Savage and Amos, but he kind of gives them a third guy there. And you can't have enough of those guys in the back end that can cover, play the middle of the field, and he's another one. So I think both of those guys are going to be guys that they're going to get their opportunities, they're going to get snaps, and they've earned those.
Well, what do you make of MVS? Is he hurt? Is he being phased out, or is it just opportunities?
Matt LaFleur did say today that MVS has been dealing with some sort of issue physically. It's not been something that has been significant enough to keep him out of really practice or games, but he is less than 100% physically. So that admission would kind of lead me to believe that there's something physically going on, but the reality is his numbers, they've been missing over the past few weeks. And this is a guy who, he is their second best receiver behind Davante Adams. He is the guy who needs to be more than a deep threat. He is the deep threat. He needs to be more than a deep threat. And if you're looking for wild cards, especially on offense, that if they get a certain more additional production from this guy, this offense as a whole can take another level. MVS is near the very top of that list, right? I mean, he's a huge wild card for this offense. So that's something, you know, I do think that they're going to need to look at that over the bye, how to get him in more positions to better succeed. Matt LaFleur said that himself. And if they're able to do that, it would be very beneficial, advantageous to this offense.
Yeah, I mean, the Owen Burks thing, I mean, kind of a head scratcher.
That's another one.
I'm thinking, where is this guy? But I didn't hear a lot about the injuries with Summers and the other young man. His name escapes me, the return guy. Because now you got to scramble. You're getting nothing from your special teams, and your punter is not having a great year so far. He started out great. These are things that, you know, when you're 8-2, the meeting goes better, but you still got to fix these things because no one expects for you to get this close now because of what the Saints did. The Saints just lose to Atlanta, just open the door for you to be, you know, a team that, you know, if Seattle does their job, you know, that next week can be for number one overall if it happens this way. But sometimes looking at your own house and cleaning that up is better than cleaning up somebody else's.
Hey, I know you guys got on me for the whole 9-1 thing, but give me credit for this. I've been saying for weeks now.
Well, you give yourself credit?
Huh?
They're playing for seeding.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, right, they are. They are.
At the bye week, they are in the thick of home field advantage.
Yes.
Well, who yelled at you about the 9-1 thing? Who you?
You!
I wouldn't even hear that, Dave.
Oh, my Lord.
When he,
oh.
Gary, I think Gary went after you.
That's selective remembering.
CTE. CTE is what it
Gary
is.
Gary says something about you. So, Gary. So let me get this right. Let me get this right. So if you're wrong about something, you're going to give yourself credit? That's not so.
He was right.
about
right
the
about
seating?
What? Well, they're playing what? For seeding.
They're playing for seeding.
I was wrong by 9-1. They should have been. They should have been.
Oh, they should have been. Okay.
Yeah, well, they wouldn't. But
yeah,
they
don't
are
be playing
for
in any game with Steve. Never want Steve on your side. It won't go good.
Oh, Ryan, being on my side is even better, and you're always with me. All right, man.
This guy.
You know we love you, my brother.
Here's the point, though. The point that you made, Leroy, about the. I mean, the 7-1 Saints losing to the 1-7.
Can you believe that?
Game or whatever.
Rivalry game, boys.
That's great.
Wow.
It is a rivalry game.
And if you look at the 49ers schedule, it is brutal.
It is. Starting tonight.
The top contenders in the conference, they have the toughest schedule down the stretch by far.
Right.
And watch them and watch them get tripped up by that Arizona team. That team is going to beat somebody they're not supposed to here in the next couple of weeks.
It's a great trap game.
Yeah, because it is.
They got landmines everywhere else.
No doubt about it. You know? Ryan, appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk on Wednesday.
He said trap game, Gary. He said trap game.
He didn't use that word. Trap
yeah, he did. See, yeah, he did.
He
yeah,
used
he
trap
did.
Game.
Come Ryan on, Ryan joins us on the Great Midwest Bank hotline. If you're looking to buy or renovate or refinance in 2019, look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. I got him off the line quickly before I knew that was going
to
happen.
You know,
I knew we were going to get into him.
He can go to the radio.com app and rewind it.
They can rewind it. Yeah, they can rewind it here. Instead, I wanted everybody to be able to bask in the glory of the deals they're given at Pella Windows and Doors.
We're going to get the deals at Pella Windows and Doors. But I just tell you, I've been hanging out with Ryan Wood here for the last, I don't know, just this football season. I've been trying to get him up to date on everything, you know, how it's supposed to go, this, that, and the other. It's but so I tell funny. You what, I tell you,
we have fun.
My good friends over at Pella Windows and Doors can get you up to date on the best windows and doors in the state of Wisconsin.
With everybody.
With everybody. Go check them out today. Listen, I mean, I'm almost speechless at what they can do and what they can do for you. My good friend, what's her name, Gina Della?
Gina Della.
That's Gina Della from Pella.
You remember that time on Spectrum News 1? I said, well, she also sponsored that, by the way. And I called her Gina Pella.
Gina Pella Della.
Fool, that's not her name.
No, that's not her name.
Unbelievable.
Gina Pella Della.
This guy.
This guy.
It was funny.
Gina Della from Pella, Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. You know, she was just up to Green Bay this weekend, guys. I don't know if you had a chance
party
to
and
see
tailgating.
Her.
Yeah. Huge Packer fan, no doubt.
I don't know if you guys had a chance to see her, but she was over there. And she's a huge, huge Packer fan. She's a matter of fact, she's a huge sports fan just in general. So
she's also a fan of saving your money, too.
Yeah, well, they're all about that, guys. And we talk about, I mean, look, installation guys, they can do as little as one day. And don't worry about the weather. Right now, they can do it. They do it year round. Each window replacement can happen
indoors.
In a matter of minutes and complete it one at a time, guys. They have the best warranty on wood windows. They have great innovations. Pella has over 150 design patents from between the glass blinds to the 2019 award-winning roll screen that practically disappears out of view. Guys, go check my good friends out today at Pella Window. Go check them out at the new Pella Experience Center. That's on Blue Mound Road in Brookfield. What you got, Roy?
See, the thing about it, I want people to understand.
What you want to understand?
Is, you know, I'm saving money.
You want them
like
to understand,
that.
Roy?
The holiday is coming up, and I have a picture I want to show you of a young man that tried to save some money to another company. That's
company.
I want.
Yep.
No.
Don't air their dirty business out there.
No, don't put them out there.
It actually cost him money.
Well, yeah. Stunning. If you don't do it right,
because he saw all this condensation and he saw all this inside of the window. Guess what? That whistling noise.
Mm-hmm.
That's your money going out of the window. Call Pella Window and Doors today.
This guy's amazing. That's Leroy Butler, Leap 36. Great Lakes Dragway, Pick a Lane's next on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.